First chapter 1, verse number 5 says, wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Last week we looked at the first 7 qualities of a wise man, and tonight we're going to look at 7 more qualities and finish up these here tonight. There's many more we could probably find here in the book of Proverbs, but I've chosen these 7 or these 14 because they kind of stand out and I think they can be of help to us. And the first one that we're going to look at here tonight is in chapter 5 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 1, down through verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman shall drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smooth as an oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now, here he's talking about the wisdom that he's sharing with his son. And the first point here that I have is that a wise man mentors his son in wisdom. He mentors his son in wisdom. He teaches him, trains him, guides him in wisdom. And notice here he says, my son, attend unto my wisdom. You know, you look through the book of Proverbs and you'll find lots and lots of verses that talk about helping our children, guiding our children. My son, do this. You know, all those kind of instructions. But as I thought about it one day, it dawned on me that that's really actually something that I can learn from as a father, too, because I can't teach something that I don't have. And here he says, my son, attend unto my wisdom. Well, what if the father was a fool? Then he's going to teach his son foolishness. And so, if we're going to teach our children wisdom, we've got to be wise ourselves. And so, that's what really is important here. He gives wisdom and understanding to his children. And remember, as Ken mentioned just a moment ago, the definition for wisdom is the God-given ability to make right choices. The God-given ability to make right choices. We need God's ability to make right choices in life, and he chooses, he has wisdom and the understanding to be able to share. So if we're going to be able to help others, we got to have wisdom and understanding in our own hearts. All right, that is where we got to start. And fellas, we need to work at this. You know, ladies, as we're working through this, remember I mentioned last week that these verses that are dealing with, a lot of them talk about a wise man. But a lot of times, technically, it's a bit generic. It really refers to both in many respects. But I've narrowed it down to the men, and we're just pointing the finger more at the men tonight and throughout the study. But it can apply to all of us. So you ladies can take some of this to heart as well. Now, as he mentors his son, he spends time mentoring his son or his daughter. You know, he's speaking specifically to his son, and he's calling him to his side and says, son, come here, we need to have a talk. Yeah? And need to give you some wisdom, need to give you some guidance. And as he calls him to his side, you know, how do we mentor? The word mentor has the idea of teaching or training or taking somebody by the side and say, hey, let me have a talk with you. We need to have a discussion. You guide them through your life. You do things with them. You help them to learn. And so it's not just sitting them down and saying, listen, I've got, you know, 3 things you need to learn. Pay attention, get these 3 things down, and you're done. No, it's walking through life with them and helping them. And how do we do that? You know, one of the ways that we can do that as dads is one-on-one. That is very, very important. We cannot do better than a one-on-one communication with our children. So we pick a time when we can just spend one-on-one with each children in our family. You know, some fathers, I think that's very wisely, will choose, you know, one time a week when they can be with each of their children and spend some time specifically with that child, alone with them and spend time with them. Also, we can mentor them through our family Bible time. Having a Bible time together as a family where we sit down, read something Bible related and spend time praying. Our family, when the children were little, we always would read a Bible story and talk about what it means and try to apply it to their lives. And then we would pray for missionaries. And every night we had a book that we had pictures of missionaries in. And we would lay the book out. We'd open up a page and we'd lay it out. And there might be 4 pictures on there. And each of the boys would take one of the missionaries and pray for them. And each night we did that. And it was really a help to the boys. to be able to do that, and teaching them to pray and helping them to pray and developing that in them. Even when they're little, you know, they can learn to pray and talk to the Lord. If they know the Lord is their Savior, they can certainly talk to Him, and they need to. And so we need to do that. So another time is bedtime talks. You know, just spend some time with them just before bed and talk to them and talk to them about the day and talk to them about their burdens and their needs and listen. You know, that is another thing. As parents, we need to listen when we're talking to our children. Communication is two ways. It's listening and talking. And talking and listening. It goes both directions. And so we need to listen to them. Answer their questions. Answer their questions. You know, many times children ask questions, and sometimes they ask some really hard ones and some embarrassing ones. And, you know, what happens many times, parents lie to their children. The children ask them a legitimate question, especially if it has to do with the facts of life and the parent is too embarrassed to tell them the truth. They lie to the children and tell them some fairy tale story. That's not right. If the child is old enough to ask a genuine question, he needs a genuine answer. Now, you may not need to go into every detail until they're old enough to understand every detail, but we need to answer their questions and to discuss things with them. Have discussing times. Inform them. Give them information. Give them warnings so that they know what to look for and what to avoid. And we're going to see this in just a moment. In this context, that's exactly what he's talking about with the wisdom here. And also then the mentoring deals with teaching. But notice again back here in chapter 5, he said, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of the strange woman drop as an honeycomb. And he goes on and describes the strange woman. Now, the strange woman in the book of Proverbs is not always a harlot type of a woman. It is any kind of woman that is not your woman. A strange woman is a woman that's not your woman. All right? And many times the strange woman in the book of Proverbs is one who is out looking for trouble. She's egging on trouble and looking for trouble. But it doesn't always mean that. Sometimes a strange woman simply means someone that's not your woman. And so he's teaching his son. He says, son, you got to be careful. There's women out there that their mouth drops with honeycomb. And their mouth is smooth as an oil. What's he saying? He says, they're smooth talkers. They'll say all kinds of sweet things to you and butter you up and make you feel really good. And they're trying to trap you. He says, you got to beware. Watch out. For her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. What is the dad doing here? He's saying, son, listen. You need to be aware. You need to be watching. And he's giving him warnings. You know, and we need to be very careful about warning our children. And the idea there is to maintain good judgment, to teach them discretion, to help them to have good judgment in life so that they can say no to temptations when they come up. Because children are going to, they're going to face things. I mean, our children today are going to face things that we didn't face at their age. Because there's so much more garbage in our world that's more in the open. And we've got to be preparing them. If we don't prepare them, one day it's what's going to happen. It's all of a sudden, something's going to happen and you're going to say, oh, woe is me. How did that happen? You know, how did they get into that? Or what? Oh, what are we going to do now? And we could have avoided some of that if we were just more open with them. We need to prepare them. Think about the dangers that they're going to face or potentially could face and then warn them. Warn them, teach them, train them, guide them, and help them so they can see the truth. Not just the boys, but the girls as well. Now, he also here carefully identifies the tricks, traps, and the doom of this evil woman that's trying to seduce the young men in their community. So he mentors him. Mentor your son with wisdom. So the first thing to do on our list tonight is mentor your son in wisdom. Number two is found in chapter 15, verse number 24. 15, verse 24. Proverbs 15:24, I've entitled this one, that a wise man lives his faith. 15:24, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. All right, now, the way of life, he says that it is above to the wise. So he's talking about going through life. You know, we're journeying through life. And there's two things you can do in life. Many people, as they journey through life, they never think about what's going to happen later on in life or the future or heaven. Doesn't cross their mind. The other day, I think it was Ken and I were out talking, and we asked the guy, do you ever think about, what's going to happen in the future? Nope, never give it a thought. What's going to happen when you die? I'll feed the worms. And they're not worried about it. They don't think about it. But, the wise person thinks about his future. So he says the way of life is above to the wise. He thinks about the future. He thinks about heaven. He thinks about eternity. He thinks about standing before God. And that changes his whole focus. He has a heaven-focused or a center on heaven. It reminds me of Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2 that says that we're to seek those things that are above, and that we're to have our focus on things above and not on things of the earth. And so God wants us to have our thoughts on things above. That doesn't mean we walk through life kind of floating along on a cloud, but it simply means that we're spending our focus on what's going to matter in life. Now, as we think about that, how do we go about doing that? If we're going to keep our thoughts on eternal things, how are we going to go about doing that? Well, we're going to have to, first of all, we're going to spend time with God every day. Every day we need to spend quality time with the Lord. If we're going to have our thoughts on the Lord, we're going to have to spend time with the Lord. Because if we skip that, if we don't spend time with the Lord in prayer and in Bible study, then our thoughts certainly aren't going to be that direction. Then also, looking for the Lord's return. That's very important, that we look for His return. Because, we know the Lord's going to come back someday. We all believe that. But we act like it's never going to happen. We say, oh yeah, I believe the Lord's coming back today. How did you live today any different than you would have if you didn't know that? We just kind of push it in the back of our mind and say, yeah, one of these days the Lord's going to take us to heaven. And I think that for many Christians, when it happens, and I'm accusing myself too, I'm not pointing my finger at you, what's going to happen is when the Lord does come back, it's going to be such a shock to us because we weren't at all prepared for it. Really? We weren't really thinking about it. We know it, but we don't think. But if we're going to live for eternity, if we're living our faith, living for eternity, living for future things, we're going to think about the Lord's return, and then we're going to long to please the Lord with our life. There's going to be a desire in my heart. I want to please God. I want to please God. And if that be the case in our life, we're going to live it in our life. And Jesus talked about laying up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 to 21. It says, we're to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through nor steal. And we need to lay up the things. Now, as I thought about that verse, I thought, well, how do we lay up treasures in heaven? We talk about that. Sounds real pious, but how do we go about doing that? Well, one of the ways is by working to win others to Christ. This past week, how many times have we even thought about telling someone about the Lord? How many tracts did you pass out this week? How many times did you speak up for the Lord when you had an opportunity? We need to, if we're going to live for eternity, if we really believe that Jesus could come back today, then we need to be telling others about the Lord. And that we need to faithfully be serving Him. That's another way that we can be laying up treasure in heaven. We need to be supporting our local church. We can lay up treasure in heaven by doing that. Keeping our thoughts in subjection. If we're going to be preparing for the future, living for eternity, we're going to have to guard our thoughts, and then living for God's glory, just so that my life can bring glory to God. I want everything I do to please Him, and that ought to be our passion and our desire if we're going to really be focusing on eternity. But as we think on this, another verse that goes right hand in hand with this is Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 14. Proverbs 13, 14, and that verse says, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death." So it says there, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. It's bubbling over with life. It's a fountain of life, the law of the wise. Now, in other words here, his law or instructions are directing others toward the future. Now, as we think about this, he says that they're a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now, as you read that verse, one question that needs to come to our mind is, what death is he talking about? Well, there's two kinds of death. It could be eternal death, or it could be physical death. And I think the verse has applications for both. All right, so the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. He's helping himself, plus he's helping others to depart from the snares of death. Now, if he's talking about eternal death, then that means that the things that we do, we have prepared ourselves by coming to know the Lord as our Savior to prepare for eternal death, but we're also sharing the gospel with others so they can prepare for the future, so that they don't end up in eternal death, separated from God. You know, a silent Christian is no good to anybody. Silent Christian is no good to anybody. We cannot be silent. We cannot be silent and help anybody. And if you have unsaved friends and you don't talk to them about salvation, you are not truly their friend. You're not truly their friend. You say, oh, yeah, but Pastor, every time I bring it up, you know, they get upset. One day they're going to stand before God and go to hell. So what's worse? You've hurt their feelings on earth to try to get them to see their need of a Savior, or we keep our mouth shut and keep them happy and they send them off to hell. We can't keep quiet. We've got to talk about the Lord. Now, I'm not saying every time we're with somebody, we've got to, you know, keep cramming it down their throat like a Bible basher type of a person. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, we've got to live it and show it and talk to them and be a witness for Christ, because we owe it to them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. If we hide the gospel, it is hid from them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. And so we've got to be very careful not to allow that to happen in our lives. So there is the sense in which we are helping others to avoid eternal death, but also we can help others avoid physical death, or to live a safer life or a longer life and avoid premature death. You know, we do this by warning, like our children, of life-threatening dangers. You know, in a reality sense, you know, we teach our children, you know, don't stick little wires in the, you know, electric socket. That will cook you. That's not good. That you'll die if you do that. You know, we teach them basic things like that, or I hope you do. That's the wise thing to teach your children. I always told my children, you stay away from that thing. Don't play with it, period. You know, let alone sticking something in, and don't want to give them any ideas. But don't touch that thing. Don't stay away from it. All right. Don't go near that. And help, but you know, in reality, in other ways, we need to warn them of the dangers of alcohol and drugs, and of the immorality that's all around us, and bad friends and crime. We're warning them. Why? Because we know that those things can shorten their life. You know, a person that gets involved in drugs, many times it shortens their life, because they just end up either overdosing or getting involved in something bad, or they're in a crime situation or in an accident because they were out of their mind on drugs. You know, so all these things, they shorten life. And so we warn them and help them. And one of the best ways to do that is through using the book of Proverbs. You know, I strongly, strongly encourage you, at least sometime, maybe not all the time throughout your years of rearing your children, but at least 1 year, you ought to go through the book of Proverbs. And with your children, maybe just take 2 or 3 verses a day and just work your way through the book of Proverbs and talk about the things in Proverbs. If you do that, I guarantee it'll bring up all kinds of subjects and subjects that need to be brought up, and it'll help. And you just need to use prudence and wisdom in teaching your children and helping them understand. And when you get to some of those hard sections that you'd rather avoid, you just got to plow on, like I had to this morning in Genesis 38. That was one of those chapters I wrote a skip. But, you know, you just got to plow through it and teach and train and help them and guide them so that they can learn. So the book of Proverbs is a great help. All right, number three, we need to calm, a wise person will calm the anger of others. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 14. Proverbs 16:14 says, the wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. All right, now, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, he's talking about a wise man who's going to pacify the anger of the king. So here he's dealing with calming the anger of others. Now, it's just that, you know, none of us are going to have to worry about pacifying the anger of the king. All right? We don't have a king, first of all, and we're not in a position where we're going to have to calm his anger down. But we all face situations where there's going to be times we're around people that are upset. And the wise man will calm the anger of others. He calms the anger. A wise man calms the heated situations. You know, human tendency is to attack anger with anger. Isn't that right? That's what we do. That's what our human wants to do. You know, somebody's angry with us, and we raise our anger at them, and then it keeps getting bigger and bigger until somebody finally gives up, or they explode into a battle. All right, and so that's our human tendency. But the wise man responds softly to harsh words. Proverbs 15:1, soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So a wise person is going to say, all right, she responded to me angrily, but I'm going to stay calm. I'm going to respond calmly, and you're going to have to ask God for help. And it's not easy, because we're going to have to do what is not natural to our nature. Our natural nature is to retaliate. But the wise man says, no, I'm going to stay calm, and I'm going to respond in a soft way. And it's not easy. We need God's help. And all of these things we're talking about here tonight are things we need God's help. We can't do it ourselves. We can't be this kind of person that God wants us to be ourselves. We need God's help. And a wise man appeases the anger. He tries to establish peace. He keeps the peace prevailing in his life. Now, he uses God's wisdom to put out emotional fires. James chapter 3. Flip over there with me if you would. James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 13 to 17. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews, James, way to the end of your Bible. James chapter 3. Look at verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation or out of a good way of life his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, what is he saying in these verses? He's telling us here that the wise person puts out fires. The whole chapter 3, he's dealing with the tongue. And he talks about how the tongue gets us into so much trouble. And now he talks about the wisdom of calming that down. He talks about bitter envying and strife. And in verse 14, verse number 16, he talks about envying and strife and causes confusion and every evil work. And he says that kind of wisdom, the world's wisdom, the world says, they gave it to you, give it back to them. If they punched you, punch them twice as hard as they did and you'll learn. You know, that's the world's wisdom. And he says that the world's wisdom is earthly, sensual, and devilish. It's not right. But he says God's wisdom, verse 17, is the wisdom that is pure, it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. In other words, you listen to advice, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality. It means you're not showing favorites, and without hypocrisy. We're being sincere about what we're doing. So we need to have genuine wisdom. And the wise man will seek to calm the anger of others. All right, number 4. He is prudent. Chapter 16, Proverbs 16, verse number 21. Proverbs 16, verse 21. Proverbs 16, verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. So a wise man has a wise heart. Now that's important for us to understand. Remember what Solomon told us in Proverbs 4:23? He says, for out of the heart proceed all the issues of life. All right? In Proverbs chapter 4, that's a good verse for us to learn. In verse number 23, he says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're to keep our heart diligently because out of our heart comes the issues of life. All the issues of life. The anger that comes out of my mouth, the way that I respond to things, the way that whether I have wisdom or whether I act as a fool, all the things that come out of my life come from my heart. So important for us to remember that. Now, a man who has a wise heart will be a wise man. So if we have wisdom in our heart, then wisdom's going to come out of our heart. And it's going to make us a wise person. So in order for wisdom to come out, we've got to have wisdom in. And a verse that really is helpful in getting this sunk deep into our heart is over in the book of Mark, chapter 7. Why don't you just take a look at that? Mark, chapter 7. Let me show you a couple of verses here, beginning with verse number 21. Mark chapter 7. Matthew also mentions it, but he doesn't have quite as long of a list as Mark does. Mark chapter 7, verse number 21, says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." He said, all that comes from the heart. And so when a person acts proud, it comes from his heart. When a person is full of deceit or deceiving other people, it comes from his heart. When a person has evil thoughts, it comes from his heart. All of these things, all these sinful things come from the heart. Lasciviousness is uncontrolled lust. It all comes from the heart. All right? And these things come out of the heart because they're in the heart. And that's why we need to keep our heart protected and clean and guard our heart. So the wise man that will have a wise heart, the wise in heart will be called prudent because his heart is wise, therefore he's prudent in his actions. And so very important for us to understand that we need to have a wise heart. Now, how are we going to get a wise heart? Well, we're going to have to fear God. You look through the book of Proverbs and when you think of wisdom, it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we're going to get wisdom, we need to fear God. Have a genuine fear and respect for God. So that we will say, I do not want to do anything wrong. I want to please God. I'll do whatever I got to do to read and memorize and meditate and spend time with God. I've got to do that because I don't want to displease God. A wise person. And so he's going to carefully spend time in the Word. Psalm 19:14. Says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So the wise person spends quality time with the Lord and digging things out of the Word to learn from it. Then a wise man has a reputation for prudence. He says, the wise man here, he says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. So people that know you, would they call you a prudent person? Good question. Those who know you, would they say, hey, there's a prudent person? Well, by prudent, the word prudent that is used here means to have understanding, insight, discernment, and perception. Discernment. Usually we think of a carefulness in maybe our purchases. Here's a person that you look at them and they always make wise choices. They're careful. They discern things. They're not easily tricked. People don't deceive them very quickly. They can spot problems. When they see something, they're careful about it. The Bible talks about prudence a lot in the book of several times in the book of Proverbs. And prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Simple man pass on and is punished. So the prudent person is someone who's careful, cautious, watching, discerning, and noting the things that could cause me trouble. And say, no, I'm not going that way because I can see that's a trap. And I'm not going to fall for that because I can see that'll get me in trouble. Now, again, we ask that question. When people see your life, do they look at you and say, there's a prudent person. There's a prudent person. If that is true, that's an indication that we're a wise man. God wants us to be wise because if we're wise, then wisdom in our heart will come out of our life in prudence and we'll make wise, right decisions. Now, both the wise man and the fool are known by their words and their actions, and Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So, in other words, the things that are full in our heart are going to run over. They're going to come out of us. And, that's something we need to be very careful about. When we're brewing over something, you know, maybe somebody hurt us and we're stewing over it and we're thinking about it and we're getting fired up inside. Watch out, because what's filling up in there is going to come out. It's going to come out. You better drain it before it blows. All right, and we need to be careful. So we need to guard what's inside so that we let it out. Now, men, we need to ask ourselves, what is filling our heart? What are we filling our heart with? Are we filling our heart with selfishness, pride, ego, materialism, anger, bitterness, lust, greed? You know, the ways of and wisdom of the Word of God. You know, what are we filling our hearts with? Throughout the week, you know, maybe this last week, what have you put in your heart? What have you filled your heart with? Have you spent quality time in the Bible filling your heart with the Word of God? Or have you been looking at things you shouldn't look at, or thinking about things you shouldn't see, or think about, or watching things on the television or internet that you shouldn't see? You know, what has been filling your mind? What are you filling your heart with? And the thing we need to remember, you know, sometimes we may say, oh, you know, it's not really my fault. No, the truth of the matter is, we can't make excuses. We hold the scoop that fills our heart. We're holding the scoop. And whatever we scoop up and pour in is good. What's going in. All right? We're determining what goes in. We've got to control the scoop. Control what you're scooping into your heart. And keep our heart pure and wise, so that if our heart is wise, it will lead us into a prudent life. And we'll be able to be a prudent person. Number five. He teaches his mouth and his lips. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 23. Proverbs 16, verse 23. He teaches his mouth and his lips. Proverbs 16, verse 23. Proverbs 16, 23 says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. He teaches his mouth. Now, how do we teach our mouth? You think, all right, mouth, listen, I've got to teach you a thing or two. You know, but he's talking about it, you know, from the inside of us. We're teaching ourselves inside what we're going to say. In other words, we're guarding what we're saying. We're thinking about it. James tells us that the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. James 3:8. He says you can't tame it, but you can guard it and protect it and keep our tongue guarded and teach our tongue. And if we, you know, when you think about that, when James said you'll never be able to tame your tongue, if you let your tongue off the leash, it will run off and bite others and get in fights. Now you think about that. You know, he's talking about we can't tame it. You think about the dog being tamed or an animal being tamed. You keep them on a leash. When I go to the park, even though my dog is pretty old and docile now, I still don't trust her. I wouldn't let her loose in the park, because if somebody else's dog come along, I know Libby. She'd go pick a fight. And that's just the way she is. Even though she's old and would get whipped, she'd pick a fight, because I can't trust her. She's not tame in that sense. And you know, it's the same thing with our tongue. God says never let it off the leash. Because you do, and it's going to get you in trouble. It's going to bite somebody. It's going to cause trouble. It's going to get in fights. And a wise man teaches his mouth. He teaches it by studying the Bible to see what God says about our mouth. You know, one of the places, if you have trouble with your tongue, one of the chapters you need to memorize, James chapter 3. James 3. The whole chapter. He starts out in the very first verse. It says that we're not to... He says, my brethren, be not... He tells his brethren not to be involved in much speaking there, because our speaking are going to get us into trouble. And I had the verse memorized here and it just jumped my mind. But... the idea, the whole chapter there, James chapter 3, especially the first half, very clearly says that, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven with fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, a greater matter, a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea, hath been tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith blessed we God, even the Father, and therewith cursed we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing, my brother, and these things are not so to be. And he goes on and he describes it a little bit more. But a great chapter to meditate on and memorize if you have significant trouble with your mouth. But the wise man controls his mouth. He teaches his mouth. Another verse in Proverbs that goes hand in hand with this is Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 11. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 29:11, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterwards. Here the fool gets into a situation, he just blurts it all out and I'll tell you a thing or two. And then afterwards, he's made a fool of himself, and the wise man keeps it until afterwards. He stops and thinks and says, well, I got some opinions here, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut until everything settles down, and once it settles down, I'll sort through it and I'll say the right thing carefully. That's the right thing to do. It's not easy. But see, again, we need God's help. And it, really what that verse is telling us is to think before you talk. Think before you talk. So open your mind before you open your mouth. Okay, number six, he handles problems like a man. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 22. Proverbs 21, 22. This one here, you might look at this verse and think, where'd you get that? But look at the verse with me. Proverbs 21, 22. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength and confidence thereof. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength and confidence thereof. Proverbs 21, 22. So he's talking here about a man who is in military, and he's the captain of the army, and he sees the city. This is the city we got to take next, and this is how are we going to conquer the city? And he scales the city, evaluates the city, and says, oh, it's strong. You know, this side over here, they may have a little weakness over here. Maybe we could go up that valley and attack from that corner. Or maybe this side over here, it looks like maybe there's a good chance that we could swing around from this side and attack. And this gate here doesn't look very strong. Maybe we could go in. He's scaling the city, evaluating it, and seeing how he could attack it. And then he casts down the strength and confidence of the city. So he's handling problems like a man. He's attacking like a man. He's doing it wisely. Now he ponders and prays before acting. You know, all of us face problems. Life is full of problems. And men, like it or not, many of the problems of life fall on our shoulders. And we shouldn't dump them off on our wife and say, you take care of that problem. I don't want to take care of that one. We shouldn't do that. We're to be responsible. We're to be the leader. And so when problems come up, we've got to solve the problems. Now, it may be marriage problems. It may be child-rearing problems, finance problems, property maintenance problems. You know, something broke. You know, the tap's leaking. And the, you know, whatever the situation, disagreements, maybe workplace problems. They're all around us. Now, how are we going to deal with them? You know, we need to deal with it as a man. We need to evaluate the situation, search the Bible for suggestions, and then seek wise counsel. We need to evaluate the situation, search the Bible for answers. You know, when we have problems, the best thing we can do is go back to the Bible and say, God, what do you want me to do? What's the Bible thing for me to do? Doesn't matter what people are doing around us. We need to go back and see, what does God want me to do? And he gets his strength and wisdom from the Lord. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And it should be given him. So we go to God. He bravely acts like a man. He doesn't ignore the responsibilities. He doesn't dump them on his wife. And like a man, he addresses the problem and resolves it. He solves the problem. Works at the problem. Spends time working on it. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Or quit you like men just says, be a man. Be a man. And so God says we need to be men. Then the last one that I want to look at tonight is that he is a spiritually strong person. He is spiritually strong. A wise man is spiritually strong. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 5. Proverbs 24, 5 says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. A wise man is strong. Now, he doesn't tell us particularly how he's strong. I don't think God's saying, a wise man's a muscle man. You know, he does his push-ups every morning and no, I don't think he's talking about that. He's talking about internal strength. He's a strong man. He has a strong relationship with God. A wise man has a strong relationship with God. No man can truly be wise without a strong relationship with God. Because wisdom comes from God. So if we're going to be wise, we've got to have a connection with God. We've got to have a strong relationship with God. So in order for us to be a wise man, we've got to have a strong relationship with God. A wise man is a self-motivated Bible student. You know, men, if you are not a self-motivated Bible student, you need to beg God to make you one. We've got to be self-motivated and say, I am going to get in the book this year. You know, 2015, I'm going to spend time in this book. I'm going to learn this book. You know, some of us here tonight, you don't even know what some of the books in the Old Testament are even about. Don't have a clue. If I, you know, bring up a book and say, what's this book about? Beats me. I don't even know where it is. You know, you don't know anything about it. Well, why don't we just make this year and say, I'm going to learn what the book's about. Let's learn the Bible. Learn about the Bible. Read through the Bible. Spend time in it. You know, I was I've got a friend over in Hungary who's a missionary over there, and he last week he led a Chinese fellow to the Lord that had, was in Hungary as a student, I think he was. And the Chinese fellow, he knew almost nothing about the gospel, and he led him to the Lord. And he said, I didn't know whether I'd ever see him again, because, you know, I didn't know whether, he said, it seemed to be genuine. I didn't know whether I'd ever see him again. And that was on Sunday. Wednesday, the fellow shows up for church. And he starts asking him some questions, and he's all excited. And he says, I'm excited about the things of the Lord. And he says, I'm really sorry, Pastor. He says, I haven't quite finished reading the New Testament yet. I've got it almost finished, but not quite done yet. Maybe by the end of the week I'll have it finished. You know, I mean, he's only been saved for 3 days, and he's got most of the New Testament read. I mean, he was excited. He wanted to learn. And, you know, it puts us to shame. Many times we think, oh, you read the Bible? Oh, it's so big, I couldn't do that. But it's all a matter of our priorities, what we want to do. And I'm not suggesting we've got to read the whole New Testament this week, but all I'm saying is we need to have a hunger for the Bible and self-motivated Bible student. And he disciplines himself to make time for God every day a priority. Where we say, it's got to be a priority. If I don't get anything else done today, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to spend time with God. And then this is not something that's just for the elite Christian. You know, there's a temptation to think, well, you know, the spiritually strong. You know, if I was a, you know, super Christian, then, you know, I'd be able to do that. But I'm not a super Christian, so, you know, that's for the superstars. Now, it's not that. It's for any Christian. God wants all of us to. And as I mentioned this morning, James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, if we will focus on God's victory steps in James 4, 7 to 10, any of us can be a wise man that is strong spiritually, because it all focuses on having a strong relationship with God. We get rid of the sin, draw close to God, and God draws us close to Him. It's really not that hard, but it's hard for us because we just don't want to do it God's way. But God tells us very clearly, if you want to get close to me, get rid of your sin and come close and draw near me, and I'll draw near you. It's that simple. But we've just got to get right with God and get willing to really level with God. And a wise man is strong in character. He's not only strong in his relationship with God, but he's also strong in character. His spiritual life is not an up and down yo-yo. He is a strong man. Our life ought to be like a marathon. A marathon runner he's got a goal at the end, and he's running. And even when he gets tired, he keeps plodding on. He doesn't sit down and take a break for a while or step a few steps backwards. He keeps going onward. And yet many times our Christian life is more like a yo-yo than it is like a marathon. You know, we're up one day. Oh, yeah, I'm all excited about the things. Tomorrow, fall on my face and flatten. We're flat for 3 or 4 days. And then, I got to get back. We're up and down and up and down. God doesn't want us to be that way. And it talks about that in James chapter 1. He says, an unstable man is like the waves of the sea, driven as the wind and tossed, up and down, up and down. He said, don't be like that. Let's be going upward. You may not make fast progress upwards. He's not talking about climbing a ladder, but we're going upward. We're making progress and heading up the way that we ought to go and building character. As a godly man, we need to have godly character. He fears and respects God. He disciplines. He's a man of character. You know, there's so many character qualities that we could have. Here's just a few to get you thinking. A wise man should be disciplined, faithful, obedient, prompt, loyal, forgiving, humble, self-controlled, cautious, thrifty, empathetic, dependable, honest. You know, those are character qualities we need to teach our children, but they're also character qualities we need in our own lives. And that's just a tiny, tiny list. I mean, we could think of a huge list of things. I just picked out a few to just kind of get us thinking on that direction. You know, God has high expectations for us. You look at these things that God's given us to do, and you're like, oh, I can't do that. God's got a high expectation for us, but He doesn't ask us to do something that He doesn't give us the ability to do. God will never ask you to do something you can't do. But if we'll trust Him. So we need to just trust Him, depend upon Him, and ask Him for grace. And so as we look at these 14, all right, now ladies, if you want one of these, you can copy your husbands, or you can get them from one of the men. All right, just pass those three here for you guys. Pass those back to the other guys. And if there's any left, I'll take it back. But you can look at this list, and you go down through the list. Number one is listen to counsel. Number two, accept correction. Number three, obey orders. Number four, speak healing words. Number five, walk with the wise. Number six, fear God and depart from evil. Number seven, share knowledge rightly. Number eight, mentor your children. Number nine, live your faith. Number 10, calm anger. Number 11, be prudent. Number 12, teach your mouth. Number 13, handle problems like a man. And number 14, be spiritually strong. And so I challenge you, fellas, let's ask God to make us wise men. Let's ask God to make us wise men.